Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
America, welcome to the Inside Scoop on Washington. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Hurricane Harvey, having been one of the most powerful hurricanes ever to hit land, dropping more water than any before. People are struggling to get out from under it. Hurricane Irma is on the way, packing perhaps as big a punch, perhaps a bigger punch. It is the largest hurricane ever to hit what's going to soon be American soil because it's heading toward Puerto Rico. Strikes me that for all our talk about Florida, and we should be concerned about Florida, we should remember there is an American island that is in the immediate path of the storm. And at least in Florida, people can drive out of the peninsula. They can drive to wherever, Georgia or further places north. But Puerto Rico, you can't leave the island except, I guess, by boat or plane, both of which have been shut down. So truly thoughts and prayers with the people, the American people of Puerto Rico. And while all eyes should be focused on these horrible natural disasters, which, as I mentioned last week, have been greatly intensified by global warming, by climate change, our president is focused instead on doing his best to deport 800,000 people from the United States who haven't broken any law other than the fact that they came with their parents when they entered this country. Half of them, the so-called dreamers, came to this country before the age of six, and half over the age of six. These 800,000 Americans, and I don't know how you can call them anyone else, if you came to this country when you were three, are we going to hold you responsible for traveling with your mom and dad? Should you have deserted your mom and dad and stayed in whatever country you were born in? Okay, you came here. They went to school. They went to college. Many serve in the military. More than 90% of them are employed. Some are in their 40s right now, having lived in America for 40 years, not having the papers to vote, not having the papers of citizenship, not able to get welfare because people who are undocumented, there's only two things they get. They get emergency care if they're dying in a hospital, or they do get to go to public school. And I don't think we ever made a mistake in educating 800,000 Americans. Because they're doing very well. They are the foundation of our economy. In fact, economists say that if we were to deport them, it would dramatically decrease our gross domestic product. So even if you don't have sympathy or compassion, let's say you're not a progressive, and you're just a fiscal conservative, you should care about the economic hit. Indeed, it's largely undocumented immigrants that are helping people. I won't say largely, but there's a huge number of them helping people in Houston climb out of the terrible floods there. It's striking to me not just that the President of the United States is trying to punish people for something that they didn't do. It's even more striking to me that he's doing it right in the middle between two of the greatest hurricanes to hit the United States that are being exacerbated by his failure to just keep with the prior Obama policy on climate change, which one could argue wasn't even sufficient. He chose now to do it. The Bible tells us that we should not blame the sins of the fathers on the sons. And you know what? That makes a lot of sense. You are not responsible for your parents' crimes, no matter how heinous they are. You know, I was talking with a friend the other day about how I look at Germans when I go to Germany. And I said, you know, I really have zero animosity toward any German under the age of 70, or really 80 today. Probably actually 90 at this point, getting up in age. I might have some animosity for people who were 95 or 100 today, people who participated in some way in the Holocaust. After all, Hitler was very popular in Germany. But I don't blame those that were in Hitler Youth. They didn't know what they were doing. And I certainly don't blame people who are the children and grandchildren of Nazis. It's not their fault. And if I don't blame the children of people, or grandchildren of people who murdered one-third of all Jews on the planet, whose Holocaust led to 12 million deaths, if I don't blame them, how can I blame the children of parents who themselves I don't blame? By all accounts, the vast, vast, vast majority of undocumented immigrants came to this country over the last 10, 20, 30 years for the exact same reason my great-grandparents did: to seek a better life for themselves and their children. Some came for economic reasons. Some came because they were persecuted on the basis of their religion. But even if they were just escaping crushing poverty, is that so different from what Irish Americans did to escape the potato famine in 1840, or German Americans did also around 1840? I mean, unless you're a descendant of Native Americans, do you have any right to complain about immigration to the United States? I mean, if you're a descendant of Native Americans and you'd say the white people came in and committed genocide of Native Americans and totally destroyed Native American traditions, you have a point. But for the 98% of us who are descendants of immigrants, you don't. I mean, the children that came here with their parents, like the children of those that were forced to come here as slaves, and I was just actually yesterday at the African American Museum in Washington, D.C., when you're forced to come here, how can you be blamed? But see, I don't even blame the parents of the kids, because they're not any different from my parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents, or yours. If they were immigrants, if they were slaves, like I said, there's even more sympathy. But most of us are descendants of immigrants. And isn't that what America's all about? When I think about the United States of America, when I think about why I'm really proud to be an American, and I am very proud, I'm crazy patriotic. People say liberals can't be patriotic. They don't know liberals. We're very patriotic. I sing the Star Spangled Banner with as much passion as I can. I don't care if I'm off key. It means a lot to me, because I know that the United States of America is unique among all countries on the planet. We got problems. God knows I talk about them every day on the radio. But think about what America is. We're the one nation on the planet that is not based on an ethnicity, not based on a language, not based on a religion, not based on a race, not based on any particular natural culture. We are the world. I mean, when Emma Lazarus wrote her poem that's at the bottom of the Statue of Liberty, think about what she's saying. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Who are we in America? We're the refuse of the world. I want you to think about that. Our ancestors came here because they were destitute, because they were suffering. I don't care whether it's the Puritans of England. I don't care whether it's slaves on slave ships. I don't care whether it's my great-grandparents escaping pogroms in Russia. I don't care whether it's El Salvadorans escaping massive murder and horror going on over there. People who come to America come here to live the American dream. There's a reason why we call these kids dreamers. And out of this refuse, out of the trash that the rest of the world threw away, out of the people that couldn't make it because they weren't nobility in some foreign land, we have built the greatest country on earth. Sorry, if I am. I'm intensely patriotic. We have done it. And I would argue we've done it precisely because of the diversity and variety of the people that make up the United States of America. Right? You can go to your Finnish sauna and while listening to jazz created by African Americans, and then go to your Chinese restaurant and have some food while being a practicing Muslim and, you know, celebrating St. Patrick's Day, right? All in one day, and it's not unusual. You don't even think about it. That doesn't happen in other countries. Why is our economy so strong? Because we have creative ideas from everywhere, right? We've got a Japanese way of thinking and a Brazilian way of thinking and a Nigerian way of thinking and a French way of thinking. And you put it all together and no doubt we have the strongest economy on the planet. And who are the dreamers if not the children of the same people who did what our ancestors did? How can we, a nation of immigrants, turn them away? Oh, I know the arguments. I know all the arguments. Mark, it's against the law. Yeah, it's against the law. The slavery was legal. Denying women the right to vote was legal. Heck, the Electoral College today is legal, but I hate it. Just because it's the law doesn't mean it's a good law. And our immigration system is a mess. You know, in order to bring in people legally from the Philippines, I looked at this couple years back, so my years may be off by a bit. But a couple years ago, the waiting list to get in from the Philippines, and I just picked a relatively random country, well, people from 1989 are just now being processed. 25 years later, 26, 27, 28 years later, if you applied for a visa when you were 25, you're now 53. If you apply when you're 50, you're now 75 or so. Our immigration system is completely broken, and it didn't used to be that way. When my great-grandparents came in at Ellis Island, most of them coming between the 1880s and 1910 or so, they asked some pretty basic questions. But do you have a disease? Right? In fact, some of my relatives got turned away because they had glaucoma, actually, in the 1920s. They actually had to go to Mexico. I have some family in Mexico. They asked if you had a disease. Fair question. They asked if you were an anarchist. They didn't want anarchists there. They asked if you were a polygamist, I think was on the list. But that's about it. Otherwise, you came in and, you know, they asked you if you had family here because they didn't want you to be a public charge, which is what they called welfare 100 years ago. But pretty basic questions. We really didn't close our borders until this nativist sentiment of around the mid-1920s. That's when we closed our doors. And, well, as a Jew, I can tell you that's why the Holocaust happened. That's not why the Holocaust happened. That's too strong. But America closed its doors and turned away thousands of Jewish refugees who managed to actually come to our shores. We turned them around back to Europe, back to the gas chambers. It's not just about my people, it's about all peoples. We closed our doors. That was the time when nativist sentiment was the highest. Birth of a Nation had just happened. The Ku Klux Klan was growing and people were fighting back against immigrants. We've had these periods before. People rejected the Irish immigrants, the German immigrants in the 1840s, 1880s. Yes, the Jews and Italians at the turn of the century, just like they reject Latinos today. Virtually every Latino person I know is extremely hardworking, lawful, and wants to be an American. Actually, everyone I know is. I'm sure there are some that aren't. But did you know that undocumented immigrants commit crimes at a far lesser rate than those of us born here in the United States? Where does this cruelty come from? And why would the president focus on it now and in between two hurricanes? Give me a call. Let me know what you think. 888-48-MARK, 888-488-6275.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal America. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. Imagine you are, well, just as you are. Remember what it was like as a kid? I grew up in Nashville, Tennessee. Spent my whole childhood there until I went to college. But imagine you in your hometown. Well, let's say wherever you were when you were six, given that half of the Dreamers came here before the age of six, half after the age of six. So that's the median age. And you're now 23 or 43. And you, at the age of six, were dimly aware that you came from somewhere else. How many memories do you have before the age of six? I don't have that many. And again, some came at the age of one or two or three or four, have no memories of the country in which they were born. But you came here, and you were maybe dimly aware that your parents came from somewhere else, but you were an American, and you liked to play baseball, and you went to school, and you had friends, and you played video games, or you played in with the dollhouse, or whatever it was. You went to the playground. You got good friends, friends for life from your neighborhood, from your school, and then you made good grades, and you went to college. Maybe you served your country in the military. But we're always dimly aware in the back of your mind. Or maybe your parents finally told you when you reached the age of 10 or 12 or 14. Son, daughter, got some bad news, but I think you ought to know. You're technically not an American citizen. I know you speak English. I know you don't remember the country we came from. I know you don't speak that language or know anything much about it, but technically, the United States of America can force you to go back there to a place that you don't know. Think about living with that fear your entire life. Always wondering if one day when you're at school or one day when you're at work, you could be plucked out of your surroundings and forced to go to a strange land where you don't speak the language and don't know anyone. It's a really scary thought. Now, Democrats have been trying to do immigration reform for decades now. Heck, even George Bush tried and failed to get that through Republicans in Congress. And President Obama allowed that option for many, many years. And of course, Congress did nothing. Republicans did nothing when they controlled Congress. So he set up a program, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, DACA, of course. Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. Thank you, Mark. And so now, if you registered and you told the government where you live and what your job is and pay taxes and act like any other American, you had some safety. You could finally put away in the back of your mind this nagging fear that you could be plucked out of your surroundings and forced away from your family to a place unknown. You gave the government your name, and now they can use it against you. 888-48-MARK. We'll be right back right after this.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. So Donald Trump, who has had three wives who were all immigrants, the last of which, Melania, by all accounts, was an illegal immigrant in that she broke immigration law, because you're not allowed to work when you're here on a tourist visa. So she's as much an illegal immigrant as any of these kids' parents are. He sure likes getting models from other countries. But hard-working kids of parents who just are trying to live the American dream, yeah, Trump has no sympathy for them. So in the midst of two of the worst hurricanes ever to hit America, caused by the very climate change, or at least intensified by the very climate change that Donald Trump calls a Chinese hoax, at a time when North Korea is literally exploding nuclear bombs and bragging about their ability to put them on an ICBM to hit the United States at a time when our healthcare system is a mess, not because of the Affordable Care Act, which was a vast improvement, still not as good as single payer, but a vast improvement over what happened before, but because the government is intentionally making the healthcare system implode as much as Donald Trump can, at a time when our president is not only colluding with foreign dictators, but actively turning over U.S. sensitive U.S. intelligence to them, a crime that many would call treason, at a time when his son is about to testify tomorrow on his Russian ties, at a time when the news that the president, who said he had no ties, no financial ties to Russia, actually signed a contract to build a Trump hotel in Moscow during the Republican presidential campaign, during the primaries. That's gotten no news. At a time after Charlottesville, when neo-Nazis are marching and committed an American terrorist act that killed a young woman, at a time when the president is calling for police to be more violent and pardoning a terrorist, sorry, that's my words, the most evil sheriff in the United States, a man who actively created a police state and tortured, and I would argue murdered, people in his prison camps by making them freeze to death or burn to death. At this time, Donald Trump thinks the most important thing to do is take 800,000 law-abiding Americans who came to this country through no fault of their own, people with jobs, people serving the military, people helping out their neighbors in hurricanes. He decides now's the time to kick them out. Well, we have no other problems. And he throws on Congress, he says, fix it. Now, Congress hasn't fixed this since before Obama was president. The Republican Congress is focused on cutting taxes. Like, we'll see if that happens. I think about all those Republicans that say, I hate Donald Trump, and he's racist, and he's insane, and he's dangerous, and he commits treason, and all of that. But I'll support him because I want my tax cut. Well, he's given Congress something else to do. At a time when the debt ceiling needs to be raised or we default and cause worldwide economic collapse, at this time, Donald Trump wants to focus on kicking out a whole bunch of law-abiding Americans who are just as American as you and me, speak English with no accent. Because, you know, when you come here as a kid, you don't have an accent. It's their parents that have accents. Not that there's anything wrong with an accent, but you can't tell the difference between a dreamer and an American citizen kid, not by looking at them, not by talking to them, not by seeing what hobbies they do. These are the people he thinks are our greatest threat. In the country that is the land of immigrants, in the one place on the planet that's supposed to be a refuge for people escaping poverty or persecution. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. Let's go to Old Faithful, Michael, line 3 in the Bronx. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Mark. You covered a lot there, good buddy, and pretty much eased up of what I had to say.
Okay.
Because there's another aspect to this whole DACA thing that's so scary. And you mentioned the racism. You mentioned the white nationalists.
Oh, I didn't even mention, the homophobia, the fact that he's kicking transgender people out of the military. That's just one more hateful thing he's doing, along with it. Misogyny. I mean, we've got a whole host of hate here. No one should be left out, but go ahead.
All right, and then by the same token, when you mention about Ohio, let's not forget the hateful, violent rhetoric he gave at Nassau County in Long Island to those police officers.
That's right. He told them to be brutal against people. You know, we're innocent until proven guilty in the United States of America. Everyone carried away by the police is innocent until proven guilty. And even if you're guilty, the Eighth Amendment to the Constitution prohibits cruel and unusual punishment. Torture is not legal in America. You can't intentionally hit someone's head against a police car. That's not legal. It's not legal.
Right. Exactly. We have laws and we have constitution here in the U.S. But apparently in Trump's world, as well as these other racists, in the world of these racists, and I'm sorry, I have to include some people who wear a badge and a gun that are part of these racists and white nationalists, as they have been exposed, this becomes a very scary situation. And allow me to explain why. Now, of course, you know, I'm African-American, and I'm 50 years old. Nonetheless, with the rush to judgment and the preconceived prejudicial notions that's been going on, just because I do not look like one of these white nationalists, just because I do not look like Mr. 45 here, what's their notion? Oh, you don't look American. You must not belong here. And the last thing I need before they even ask any questions or even double-check my identity, because they're too doggone lazy to get their facts straight, I'm an American-born citizen. This is my home. Right. New York City is my home. The United States of America is my home. Can you imagine them going so far as to want to grab me, throw me in the back of a squad car, and then throw me onto some kind of plane to deport me to God knows wherever? Why should I or any American citizen, regardless of skin color, be fearful or having any concern of being thrown out of their own home?
And I'll tell you something. You know, if you look at someone like Sheriff Arpaio, I mean, he would stop people for looking Latino in Arizona, as if looking Latino in Arizona were a crime, which, of course, it's not. We have a right to equal protection under the laws. Thank you for your call, Michael. Let me move on to we've got Russell, line 4 in Weaverville, North Carolina. Hey, Russell.
Hey, I agree with y'all. He's a bigot. I was wondering, too, how many people of that demographic, you suppose, actually work for him in his hotel?
Yeah, good point. Very good point, Russell. It's just, apparently a large number. That's exactly right. And think about the labor force. You know, I mean, we have people picking vegetables where they cannot find people to do that backbreaking hard labor that undocumented immigrants do. Of course, these kids are really not so much like their parents. They're a new generation, and most of them have gone to school and are productive American citizens serving in the military. But you make a really good point, Russell. Absolutely.
Well, I was going to tell you, I work at a warehouse, and the hardest working people in there are the Latino.
Yeah.
And I work with blacks there too, and they're just as nice as can be. And the blacks and Mexicans are the hardest working people there.
You know what it is? I think I don't know that it's Mexicans, although I agree with you. Most of them seem to be very hardworking to me. I think it's immigrants. You know, when you're an immigrant and you've left, you have the gumption, the wherewithal. You have managed to pick yourself up and escape some horrible place where you are from, where your family's from, and you are avoiding, you know, poverty, or you're avoiding persecution, and you're doing what my great grandparents did and trotting off to a new world, a country where you know no one. If you are willing to make that kind of commitment, then you are damn sure going to try to make it in America, and you're not going to sit there.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to work really, really hard, knowing that the entire future of your children and your children's children depends on how hard you work. And that's why I think immigrants work harder than American citizens, and I'm not knocking American citizens. I am one. I'm born in America. But I got to tell you, immigrants, in my experience, work very, very, very hard. You're absolutely right.
They do. And well, what I was going to tell you is all them people that, white nationalists, Nazi type,
yeah.
I wonder how many of them actually have jobs.
Or yeah, I wonder about that.
On hate.
It's a fair question.
It ain't right.
It's a fair question. Thank you for your call, Russell. I appreciate it. Let me go to Scott, line 1 in New Mexico. Hey, Scott, how are you?
How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I've been fascinated by the conversation. Of course, New Mexico, we've always had porous states. There's always been borders, rather. We've always had back and forth, very little problems. You know, we understand that people are leaving Latin America and Mexico due to, you know, poverty and social ills and violence.
Yeah, violence. And I mean, the drug... stuff in El Salvador, it makes your hair stand on end.
Absolutely. And by sitting in that, we're basically doing what we did to the Jews that sought asylum in the United States during World War II. We're sending many, many people, including children, to their death. And I think that it's time for America to wake up. You know, we are constantly pounding on the fact that, you know, this is a Christian nation, which is bullshit. I think it's time, one, for the oppressed minorities and people of color to start doing public service announcements, and so many of the, as Hillary called them, basket of deplorables have never met someone different. Not different from their religion, not different from their skin color, maybe not even different from their family tree. So I think they need to be exposed to that. We need to find solutions. The Bracero program during World War II worked beautifully. You know, people were able to build retirements, buy homes back in Mexico and go back if they wanted to. And I don't know why our country's lost compassion.
You know why, Scott? Let me tell you why. Because politicians, and it tends to be Republican politicians these days, though two generations ago it was Democratic politicians. But today, Republican politicians, they gain from hate. They get votes from hate. Yeah. Our president ran an entire campaign of hate. And when Hillary Clinton said that campaign of hate was deplorable, she was attacked. And you know, she didn't say that Donald Trump supporters were deplorable. She said people who supported him who were racist and sexist and homophobic and Islamophobic, they were deplorable. And we have neo-Nazis marching saying we are proud to be racist. We are proud to be hateful. And that kind of pride and hate is tearing this country apart.
Well, it's very sad to me. You know, the churches do the same thing. By preaching hate, they get more in the coffers. I think Mein Trump, which is my moniker for you-know-who, doesn't really give a damn, has no exposure to any of this. I think he is his father's son. I think he sees the world in, I would say, black and white, but I think he only sees it in white. And there's no conscience there. I don't think there ever will be. I spent Sunday with my family, three of whom were Republicans, and a woman with Alzheimer's. The woman with Alzheimer's seemed to make more sense than my three relatives. People, they're ex-military. They loved John McCain. He was a hero to them. But now he's one of the swamp that needs to be drained. It's almost as if they're it's a cult. They cannot see Pezhead for who he is. And I don't know what you can do with that. I tried to rationalize with them. I had someone say, well, you know, the monuments are history. I said, okay, fine. But let's have the other side. Let's put a monument for the other story.
I agree with you, Scott.
The generals of the Union that defeated the South. And let's change the Confederate flag to a white flag of surrender. I was not met with kindness on that.
Scott, thank you for your call. One thing that I think bears mentioning, you said that he is his father's son. And Fred Trump not only famously was sued because he and his son Donald refused to rent their housing. That's how they got their start, refused to rent their housing to black people. But Donald Trump was arrested. Excuse me, Donald Trump's father, Fred Trump, was arrested in 1927 after a KKK rally. A lot of people don't even know that. There was a near riot at a KKK rally, and Fred Trump was fighting someone and was arrested in New York back in 1927, 90 years ago. So I'm not going to blame DACA kids for the sins of their parents, but Donald Trump seems to be very much following the sins of his father. Thanks for your call, Scott. I'll get to other calls in a minute. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Right back after this.
He's a Fulbright scholar, and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about DACA, talking about the deferred admission for child arrivals. I get my hope I got that right. But it's basically talking about the Dreamers, the kids who, through no fault of their own, are in this country, have lived their entire lives, and who now Donald Trump wants to deport. Now, I know he says he really loves them. He really doesn't want to deport them. He is giving 6 months for Congress to do their job. Well, Congress hasn't done their job for 12 years, much less in 6 months. And Congress could still pass a law. No one's against that. They could have done it. He could have said to Congress, pass a law in so many years or I'll do something. No, he just decides to terrify almost a million good, hardworking people in America. 888-488-MARK. Let's go to Reggie, line 5 in Georgia. Hey, Reggie, how are you?
Yeah, happy update to you too, Mark. How are you going to support all these immigrants, whether they're illegal or not? It nearly to virtually impossible. Why isn't anybody trying to stop this man or stand up to him and his policies, his, shall we say, evil policies, but policies nonetheless, such as things such as this, such as DACA, trying to rescind it?
Well, Reggie, 2/3 of us reject him solidly now. It was the majority, of course, before the election, because the majority rejected Donald Trump solidly. 46% were with him then. Some 32% are with him now. So 2/3 of us solidly reject him. As for the people that support him, he has still an approval rating in the high 80% among Republicans. And why do Republicans support him? I think there are only two reasons I've heard. The so-called establishment Republicans, the Paul Ryans, the Mitch McConnells, the Wall Street Republicans in the world, are saying, yeah, he's racist, yeah, he's insane, yeah, he's terrible, yeah, he's unhinged, yeah, he might cause nuclear war with North Korea, but hey, we're going to get a tax cut. And they're very rich and they want their tax cut. So that's some Republicans. And then most of his supporters, are the same deplorables that Hillary Clinton talked about. They're a little bit racist or sexist or homophobic or xenophobic, or they hate immigrants, or they just want to see people suffer. I mean, there's hate in this world. I don't understand a Trump supporter. I mean that if you don't have a little bit of hate in your heart, how can you support this man? I mean, I guess the only other option is, yeah, you're very rich, you want a tax cut. But other than that, what is it? I mean, look at the so-called evangelicals. Look at the people who supposedly are very Christian. You know, the people who supposedly follow Jesus of Nazareth, who talked at length about the poor and the stranger and the orphan and the widow, who very much believed that the meek shall inherit the earth, who wanted to lift up the least. And these evangelicals who supposedly care about other people's sex lives don't give a damn when Donald Trump cheats on all his wives. Don't give a damn when he grabs women by their private parts and brags about it in the most coarse way. Right? Imagine if a Democrat were to say those kinds of things.
Yeah, he jumped on it. He'd be attacked by conservative talk radio and TV talk shows, like I said, there's those on Fox News.
No question about it. And the last thing I want to say is Harvey was upon us. Donald Trump had no idea what to do. Mike Pence, and I am no fan of Mike Pence, at least understood the basic humanness of compassion. You go and you hug the victims. But you hear what Donald Trump had to say? Play it, Mark.
Have a good time, everybody.
Have a good time, everybody. Have a good time, everybody. He also said this was a good thing. The hurricane was a good thing because he's getting good press for it.
What?
Because Donald Trump thinks of the world only about Donald Trump. But for the rest of us, for we the people, the American people, we understand that our nation has always been a nation of immigrants, that's what made us strong. And the Dreamers are some of the best of all. This is Mark Levine. Talk to you tomorrow for a special show. Signing off.